passage today comes from two different places. First, from the book of Romans, chapter 8. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living in accord with the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. Then we turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, come now, time of your service, where your word has been read and now to be proclaimed. We ask that you be with us, Father, Lord Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. Lord God, the thoughts that we form in our minds, meditation of our hearts, the words of my lips, may all of these be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In your son's name, amen. Okay, how many of you have started your Christmas shopping already? Anybody? Have you bought presents for people? Have you ever bought a present or a gift from someone, Christmas, birthday, whatever, and put it away, hid it, and then forgot about it, forgot that you bought it, or forgot where you hid it? I've already started shopping for Christmas for Amanda. She has already bought, I think, pretty much every grandchild's present already. We had a couple of them, the 2 8-year-olds from Monroe, come and spend the night with us not long ago. And she took and wrapped all their presents. And she bought this little 4-foot tree and had presents on the table around a tree, and I just thought it's not a good idea to have 2 8-year-olds alone in a room with their presents this early. But, you know, everything worked out. They didn't get in any of them, or at least that we know of. Now, I've already bought Amanda 2, maybe 3 presents. There may seem like there's 3, but I don't know. I can't say for sure. One of them I know I have in my office. There is one that I've hid away at home, but it seemed like there's a third one that I just can't remember. You know, the thing is about you take it, you hide it, you forget about it, that perfect gift, never given or opened or enjoyed, at least not opened and enjoyed when it was supposed to be. We have been given a very unique gift from God, the perfect gift, the Holy Spirit. Have you opened your gift when you were supposed to? And are you enjoying your gift? As a follower of Christ, each and every one of us have this gift in us. But do we open our gift and do we put the gift or gifts to use, especially when we're supposed to? We started a series talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. Then we heard about what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit empowering those first apostles, and the Spirit giving birth to the church, and Holy Spirit coming on the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Today we'll look at the Holy Spirit in the letters of Paul. Paul's letters are the earliest part of the New Testament before anything else. And we'll see what does Paul have to say about those first churches and about the Holy Spirit. Paul talked about the Holy Spirit over 100 times. So the Holy Spirit in his letters is not a minor theme. It is a very major theme. And the Holy Spirit should or needs to be a major theme in the life of every believer to open his gift, to use his gift from God. Okay, I want to start with this. As believers, we view God from a Trinitarian point of view. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. The Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. One God, but in three very distinct ways. One God, one essence, Father, the Creator, the source of everything, Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus putting flesh and a face to God, that when we read and study the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection, we are reading about a life that we can relate to as a human being. Jesus, God, Son, our Redeemer, our Lord, our friend, our Savior, and then the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's presence and power actively at work in our lives and in our world. God communicates to us, acts in us, in and through the power of the Spirit. And God acts in the world in and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that Jesus breathed on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fills the apostles. That gift from God, from the book of Romans. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if that Spirit dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Will give life to your mortal bodies. Do any of you need life in you? If you believe in God and you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, believe he died, buried, and rose from the dead, then his Spirit lives in you. In this one verse, Paul makes it crystal clear. Christians have the Spirit already living in them. But to understand that and to tap into the Spirit's work in our lives. This, the same Spirit that's in all this that we have talked about. Now think about this. It's the same Spirit that hovered over the waters at creation. The same Spirit that parted the Red Sea. This is the very same Spirit that gave men the ability to create vessels for worship in the tabernacle. The very same Spirit that gave Samson strength and courage, rushing on him when he needed to save himself from the lion, and gave him strength and courage to rip the lion apart with his bare hands. This is the same Spirit that gave courage to the judges of Israel, courage to go into battle against a far greater enemy. And this is the same Spirit that gave the young shepherd boy, David, the gifts he needed to lead the people of God. Same Spirit that gave the prophets courage and power that felt like fire in their bones, that they could do nothing but speak out. This is the same Spirit that by the Spirit's power, Mary conceived and gave birth to the Savior of the world, Jesus. This is the same Spirit that came on Jesus at his baptism, took him out into the wilderness for 40 days. And this is the same Spirit Jesus promised to be our advocate, our comforter, our counselor, and our friend. This is the Spirit, all of these, the one Spirit that's living in you. The same Spirit that came on those disciples that day as a rushing, violent wind with tongues of fire and gave them an ability to speak in languages they had never spoken before. The Spirit and the courage to go out into the world to proclaim Jesus Christ, dead, buried, and risen. That Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, lives in you. The Holy Spirit, as Paul says, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit lives in you. Do you need to be raised from the dead? That Spirit will give life to your mortal bodies, each and all of us. Imagine having this gift, forgetting where you put it, never opening it. We need that Spirit. God has made us for the Spirit, and God has given us this gift, and God expects us to open his gift, be thankful for his gift, but more than that, God expects us to use his gift. Every day to pray, Holy Spirit, come, fill me, make me, use me, guide me, make me into that person that you want me to be. The Holy Spirit already in each and every one of you, but the Holy Spirit will not force you to open the gift. The Holy Spirit will not force you to use this gift. That is a decision that you have to make. I have no idea the last time I was in a mall, but one thing I remember. Some stores had escalators. Now just think, if there was not an escalator that you had needed to get to the second floor of a store, second floor of the mall, I bet whatever was on that second floor would not get much business. If you had to walk upstairs. Some people just cannot walk upstairs. Some people aren't able. Some people would say, "I'm too tired. I'm not doing that." Some people would say, "Well, if I get up there, then I got to carry everything down on my own power." No way. So how do they do it? Escalator, a helper, helping you along. And you can still use your own power. You can climb the steps if you want to, but you don't have to. You can just go along for the ride. But the thing is, that escalator gets you from one level to the other. The Holy Spirit, your helper, your comforter, your guide, your advocate, helping you get from one level to another. Paul often talks about a life lived according to the flesh and a life lived according to the Spirit. From the book of Romans, for those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Where's your mind? But those who live in accord with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind that's set on flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because a mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, it does not subject itself to God, for it is not even able to do so. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Our innermost thoughts, desires can be shaped either by our flesh or by God in the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would shape those desires if you let Him. What is going on deep inside of you that no one knows about, just God? Whatever it is can be shaped by the Spirit or not. Your innermost thoughts, your innermost being shaped by God. You make that decision to allow God in the power of the Spirit to shape you just as a potter shapes the clay. Or do you live according to the flesh, giving into the desires? From the book of Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. Again, the same basic idea. Live according to the Spirit or not. Do you know or think you know what is best for you, or do you trust God to know what is best? Continuing in Galatians, again, chapter 5. The deeds of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. To not listen to the Spirit and at the same time to not allow the Spirit to lead you. To not listen to the Spirit, you are against the Spirit, in opposition to the Spirit. In opposition to the Spirit, you're in opposition to God. And what did I say last week or a couple of weeks ago? The one unforgivable sin, blasphemy of the Spirit. Not listening to the Spirit, because if you're not listening to the Spirit, then you're not listening to God. Continuing in the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. To pray for these things to be manifest in your life. And the thing is, the more you pray for this, the more you are open for this to happen in your life. Not a one-time thing and done, but continually, every day, praying, God, fill me with your Spirit. Take me, make me, use me. Make me into the person you want me to be. Now, preparing this week, Gallup poll says 29% of Americans right now have been diagnosed with depression. That's 10% higher than 10 years ago, risen 1% every year. Now, some of this is blamed on our political environment. Yeah, get that. Some blame on the focus of negative news. Yeah, get that too. But I ask, could allowing the Spirit to lead and guide help some of these people? I would hope and pray so. To be a follower of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit means you're a witness for Christ. And that means daily to look around you and see where is or who is in need to know the love of God through kindness, encouragement, compassion. From the book of 1 Corinthians, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of ministries, the same Lord. Varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things and all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. for the common good, to each one given a manifestation of the Spirit. Just as the Holy Spirit gives gifts in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is still in the business of giving gifts. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was for a specific people for a specific reason. But now, the Holy Spirit is now available to everyone, but it is not gifts we keep to ourselves. There are all kinds of gifts, some from our experience growing up, just life in general. Some gifts are inherited from our parents or grandparents, some from our workplace, whatever we do as a living. But some gifts, that very unique gift given to each of us by God in and through the Holy Spirit. And again, Paul from the book of 1 Corinthians, to one is given the word of wisdom, to another knowledge, to another faith, to another the gifts of healing, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues, but all according to the same Spirit. Speaking in tongues, kind of spooky. Probably all of us have had some moment that God has told you to do something, say something to somebody, pick up the phone, call somebody, go see somebody, write a note, text somebody. Some people call him God winks. God winks are not that unusual when the Holy Spirit is active in your life. When you're praying for that each and every day, you are open to God talking to you. And again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. I can have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions to charity, if I surrender my body so that I may be glory, but do not have love, it does me no good. You cannot have love, the love of God, without the power of the Spirit. That Spirit is living in you right now, today. Ultimately, what the Holy Spirit is meant to do with each of us is to produce God's love in us, so that love is seen and comes out, to give that love away, to be born again, a new creature, recreated in the image of God. So one more time, have you opened God's gift? Have you put it away and you forgot where you put it? Are you opening it? Are you using it? Are you enjoying it so other people can enjoy it? Amen.